Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me, I want to talk to you tonight. And it's going to take the whole night to lay the introduction. And then we're going to get into really dissecting. Mark, good to see you again. Everyone in the world has a gift that God has given them. Everyone in the world. If you want to hear the most beautiful songs, I'll tell you where to go. If you want to hear the most outstanding piece of poetry, I'll tell you where they're at. If you would like to see the greatest actors in the world, the greatest engineers, the greatest imaginations, the greatest ideas, I'll tell you where they're all at, in the cemetery. A lot of people have died having inside of them what God wanted to bring out of them. And that's where we're going as a church, bringing out the greatness in you. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and just go ahead and start, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this will be repetitive for some of you, verse 1, I want you to understand that God, through the Holy Spirit, has given everyone a purpose, a reason to live. And when you find that purpose, what makes your baby jump? When you find that, it's great to watch my kids start finding out what makes their baby jump. Now, Aiden, not so much yet. It's still Fortnite. But Lily, FBI, missions. Ella, acting. Watching what makes your baby jump. What makes you excited about life. Getting up out of bed. The Holy Spirit has already given everyone a gift. It's charisma in the Greek. And so I want to show you what the possibilities are. Now here's the thing before we get started. This list is not exhaustive. These are not the only gifts, but these are a predominant amount, and they were probably predominant because of the church of Corinth needed those gifts, and Paul reminded them of the gifts they had in this church. There is nothing more beautiful than a church that works right. Nothing more effective than a church that works right. Nothing more powerful than a church that works right. But for a church to work right, it has to have the body knowing what the gifts are, because that is one of the foundations of spiritual maturity. You have to know what you're called to do. Case in point, when I first went into ministry, I tried to be a Christian education director back then. I hated it, and I was a complete failure at it. I tried to sing, and let's just stop it right there. I was musical. I actually got into ministry because I played the keyboards in a band. I wanted to start a rock and roll band like Eddie Van Halen. I didn't have a sound system. We just started attending church. I looked up there and saw the sound system in a church. And so I go ask this pastor, I said, because a friend of mine used the word contemporary Christian music with me, and I said, if we start a contemporary Christian rock and roll band, can we use your PA system? And that's how I got in ministry. But through that process, I found out what made my baby jump. And at 52, I'm still honing in on what makes my baby jump. And so I want you to go on a journey with me for a couple weeks, couple months, and I want to help you find out what makes your baby jump. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read this one first. We're going to read a lot of scriptures. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Number one, it's spiritual. Number two, it's a gift. And it's a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in an individual's life. Brothers and sisters, so we're talking specifically to Christians right here. I do not want you to be ignorant, is the word in the Greek, unaware. You know that when you were pagans, people didn't know God, And what's interesting about the word pagan, we talked about this in the Bible study a while ago. The word pagan doesn't mean people who live in the urban areas. The word pagan gets its name from country people who lived in the country. They were called pagans because Christianity was accepted in urban areas and rejected in country areas. It was the country people who held out the longest at not accepting Christianity. So it's interesting it uses the word pagans. You used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know. In other words, I want you to gnosko. I want you to know something. That no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different gifts, different kinds of purposes for individual lives. But the same Holy Spirit that gives me my purpose gives you your purpose. And there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities. I'm going to break this down hopefully tonight for you, because what I just read to you are three divisions of purposes according to the kingdom of God. And we'll get to it in a minute. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. In other words, nobody has a gift so they can bless themselves. You have a purpose so you can make the world a better place for Jesus. To one is given a message of wisdom, logos sophia, through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge, gnosko, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, pistis, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. And this is fascinating. We'll probably get into this next week. But do not think that the gifts of healing is someone who has a gift of healing who has the ability to heal everyone. That is not biblical. We'll talk about that later. To another one, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So people who are cessationists that say that the Holy Spirit went out with the early apostles and they stopped speaking in tongues try to use this verse to say that there are no tongues for everyone today, that not everyone has a prayer language, but you have to look at the word divers. There are diverse kinds of tongues. There's a tongue that somebody gives out in a public assembly, and then there's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom where somebody interprets the tongue. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person by his will. Now, I want you to understand there are different kinds of gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 12:4-5, and there are different kinds of services, but it's all the same Lord. Now, I want you to hold, because we're going to come back to 12 in just a minute. But let's write these down real quick. So what you have, let me not take the time to write them down. Let me list them for you. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, he lists administration, apostle, discernment, faith, healings, helps, knowledge, miracles, prophecies, teaching, tongues, tongues of interpretation, and wisdom. Now, I want you to look here. Just one second. Let me prove what I preached Sunday to you. Look at where tongues are listed in a godly list. Where is it listed? Last. What did I tell you about the fruits of the Spirit Sunday morning? Galatians 5:22. When you see a list in the Bible and it's godly and good, it's chronological. When you see a list in the Bible and it's evil, it's never chronological. And so here's Paul who says, now think about this, who says, I speak in tongues more than you all in 1 Corinthians 13. And then he turns around and look at where he puts tongues and interpretations. He places it last. I think that's interesting. So the Bible just said that there's a gift of administration, that there are people who have the gift to organize. Pastor Andy's got this. There are gifts of people who are apostles, and we're going to go deep into these, but not tonight. Apostle, that's who I am. People say apostles went out with the 12 apostles. No, they did not. Apostolic ministry means that you have the ability to go into a place and rally people together and build something and turn it over to somebody else. That's who I am. I've always known that's who I am. That's my calling, to build stuff up. Even on the playground as a kid, I was always starting something. All right? So, and then there's a gift called discernment. Have you ever had somebody lie to you, and then all of a sudden in your stomach, you knew that you were being lied to? Let me see your hands. You have the gift of discernment. All right? And then there's faith. Now, this is an interesting word. It's pistis in the Greek, but we're going to get to it later in more depth. But faith. But notice, look here. Look at it chronologically. Can you have the gift of healing and not be someone with faith? Can you have the gift of knowledge or miracles and not have faith? So you see where it says that administration and apostles, the organization of the kingdom, and then discernment of what is right and wrong, and then faith. And when the church begins to operate with people who have the gift of faith, my mom has a gift of faith. Faith, then look at what happens. Healings begin to take place. There's a gift of healings. Now, a gift of healing, and I'll show you in the Greek next week, does not mean that you have the ability to pray for everybody and everybody gets healed. Let me tell you why. If everybody gets healed, and we thank God for a healing today with this boy, this 16-year-old boy. But if everyone was healed, then there would be no penalty for the fall. And Christianity is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. However, how many of you know God heals? Right, so he heals. So, but you can't heal without faith. So faith is introduced into the body of Christ. Then you have healing. And then you have the gift of helps. My dad has that. Larry Puckett in our church has that. And he had a birthday last week, so wish him a happy birthday. That is, you get happy just helping. It makes you happy. You need to put up a barbecue pit? I'll help you. You need to cook chickens to send kids on a mission trip? I'll help you. People with the gift of helps. Marquita in our church that works in the coffee bar, she has that. But she also has the gift of administration. So you have the gift of helps. You have the gift of knowledge. And I'm going to explain these things to you. How many of you have ever been in front of someone praying and God told you to tell them something? Can I see your hands? Don't be ashamed of it. It happens to me all the time. I don't sit back there and work it up and think, you know what, when I get in front of them, I'm going to say this when I see them. No. It hits you instantly and you know like you know your own name, truth. It's a knowledge, gnosko, the word of knowledge. And then look, there is the working of miracles where people can pray for people and they have miracles. Prophecy is mentioned here. And prophecy is, think of preaching when you hear that. And think of teaching. And then tongues and interpretation of tongues. And then wisdom. Now, that's interesting. Why would Paul put that last? You know, why are some of these listed in different orders? So in 1 Corinthians 12:28, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 gifts that are mentioned there. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 12 with me. All right? And in Romans chapter 12, let's go to Romans chapter 12. All right, let's just start at verse 3. Romans 12 and 3. For by grace given unto me. Now everybody needs to write that down right there. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans. Look at what he just said. For the grace given by me. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever seen anybody using a miraculous gift, which is unfortunately what the body of Christ concentrates on when it takes the others to make the church work? So how many of you have ever seen anybody work in a gift of interpretation of tongues or public tongues or miracles or healings that did not live right all the time, right? That was confusing to me the first time I witnessed that. I was in college, and this old boy gave a tongue interpretation out, and then he did something, and I thought, well, how in the world did you do that? Because I know over here you did this. That's very important for you to understand. When you get your gift from God, it is not because you're spiritually mature. The gift is for your spiritual maturement, along with what we'll get into in a minute, the Ephesians 5 gifting that is required in a church. But what happens is, for the grace that has been given unto you, when you take the word spiritual gift, and I'll show you in detail later, it actually means charismata. And charismata is two words. It's grace and gifts. Gifts given in grace. In other words, for by grace are we saved, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, not by works, only by faith, lest any man boast. When God gives a human being his or her purpose, he does so with understanding that I'm giving you the gift of tongues, I'm giving you the gift of healing, I'm giving you the gift of administration, I'm giving you the gift of helps, I'm giving you the gift of prophecy, I'm giving you the gift of wisdom, I'm giving you the gift of knowledge by grace and grace only. No merited favor. God doesn't look at someone and says, they're super spiritual, more spiritual than the other person, so I'm going to give them the gift of healings, but over here I'll just give you the gift of helps. No. All gifts, all purposes are on the same playing field. And when God gives you a gift, it's not because you are so super spiritual or such a spiritual giant. It's because he gives it to you because he loves you and has a divine plan for your life. And he gives you a purpose regardless of how spiritually mature you are. Now think about that for a minute. If I'm spiritually immature and I have a purpose and I have the gift of helps, I can become a busybody really quick. If I'm spiritually immature and I have found my purpose and I am prophetic, I can hurt your feelings in a matter of moments out of my immaturity. If I am in the wrong place because I don't know who I am, and I'm greeting because they needed a greeter because the greeter didn't show up at church that Sunday, and I'm greeting at the door, and I'm really an intercessor or an introvert, how great do you think I'm going to be as a greeter? Well, you can come in if you want to. No. So I want you to understand, if I don't get anything else out of my mouth tonight about your purpose, is God allows you a season to mature in it. But God has also given you somebody to help you mature. He's given you pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and I always forget that last one. I'll show you in a minute. It's Ephesians 5, fivefold ministry. So you have to realize that these gifts that you have are given to you because not because you're mature, but because of grace. Somebody say amen. So for by grace you've been given to me, and I tell every one of you not to think of yourself more highly. So God already says that if you have the gift, you don't think you're so much better than you are. One of the most disappointing things of 37 years of ministry, at times, not all the times, but at times, is when I have met my heroes. And I found out that they were rude behind the scenes and that they were pretty egotistical behind the scenes. And it really did a number on me in the early days before I realized what I'm teaching you. Because what happens is if you see your gift, say like the gift of prophecy or the gift of knowledge, and it builds you up, or you have the gift of helps and you say, I'm the only one that does anything around here. Or if you have the gift of teaching and you don't like picking up chairs and moving tables, because everybody has to do that in a church at one point in their life, then what happens is somebody over here with the gift of helps will look at somebody who has the gift of teaching and go, you're just stinking lazy. All you want to do is put that nose in that book. You're lazy. And so there's a whole host of issues that arise out of becoming mature and knowing your purpose in life. And Paul had the same problem with the church of Corinth. And that's why he's writing about this. Now, look at this. Go along with me. He says, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one of you. In other words, The gift of healing is not more important than the gift of helps. And the gift of helps is not more important than the gift of teaching. And the gift of exhortation or prophecy is not more important than the gift of interpretation of tongues. Everybody's purpose is equal. Somebody say amen. Your purpose is equal. And so now, verse 4, as we have many parts in one body and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are in one body in Christ, individual members of one another, according to the grace, the charisma that has been given to us. Given, not earned. The grace, the spiritual gifts, charismata, that has been given to us. You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, but God gave it to you anyway. And it says, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, now look at here. Let's write this down. What's he listing? He's listing prophecy, which is the preaching of the word of God. Prophecy. Bear with me with these glasses. Service. Serving. Teaching. Exhorting, which is encouraging someone. Giving, and everybody, I'll point that out in just a minute. Giving, mercy. Now look at what he says. Let's read this. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. In other words, if you've got the gift of preaching, use it according to the faith God's given you. If you've got the gift to serve people, you use it. If you've got the gift of teaching, you use it. Use it where? In teaching. If you've got the gift of exhorting, then use it. If you've got the gift of giving, then do it generously. If you've got a gift of leading, I knew I missed one. If you've got the gift of leading, then do so. Leadership is a gift. And he says, if you've got the gift of mercy, you be happy about showing mercy. Now watch this. And I've said this before, and it's funny. We don't want anybody in Covenant Community Church that has the major gift of mercy handling money. No way. Are you kidding me? I have the gift of mercy. I don't touch the money. I'll give it all away to the poor. Now I've gotten wiser, and I know how to check out a story rather than the way I did 20 years ago. I know how to hunt down the truth. But you don't want anybody with the gift of mercy predominantly handling all the money. And so people can get offended at somebody who handles the money because they may not come across merciful. Listen, you may not know where I'm going, but I do. And this is good, healthy stuff right now if you want to be mature. Everybody go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you something. Now, this is very important. What I'm doing is I'm establishing to you the gifts of the Spirit, your purposes. And what you're going to be able to do next week is I'm going to go through these and I'm going to tell you what each one means and what it means for you. And if you haven't had a test to help you know what your gifts are, go, like people are right now, a growth track. And they'll help you figure out what your gifts are. We have assessments to do that kind of stuff. But go to Ephesians chapter 4. This is where people really get, they get off a kilter, to be honest with you. Start at verse 13. No. Start at verse 9. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens to fill all things. This is in essence, it's saying Jesus died, he went to hell, took the keys to death, hell, and grave, and came back up. And he himself gave some. Now watch this. He himself gave some. What did Jesus give, and what did he win for the church when he went to hell? When he descended into hell, what did he do? He came out with your purpose. So one of the things he's done is to pay a price for you to have potential and to express your potential. But he didn't just stop there. You got to understand how a real church, healthy church, operates. What he did is he then turns around and says, now, I know I'm handing out all of these gifts to everybody, but I'm going to also make a structure so that you can mature in your gifts. And so it says, and he gave some, let me find out back where I was at. And he himself, verse 11, gave some to be apostles. So you see apostles up here, but I'm going to write it again. He gave them to be apostles. And then what's he say? What else did Jesus give? How many of you would like to have a gift from Jesus? Can I see your hand outside salvation? I'm telling you about it right now. He gave some to be prophets. And these people scare me sometimes. He gave some to be evangelists. And he gave some to be pastors. And he gave some to be teachers. This is what's called the fivefold ministry. I want to show you something, and you have to understand this. In a healthy church, and I'm not talking about every year, I'm not talking about every 5 years. But in a healthy church, God gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for maturity. And I'll show you that in just a minute. But he moves these people sometimes. You think about the staff that has come off, ministerial elders over the last 20 years. Tony started with us, and he moved Tony. Roger Smith established the business, and God moved him. Pastor Davis was here, and then God took him to heaven. These things change. These things stay stable. But the issue is the same. These people here mature these people here. And we haven't even got to the other scripture yet. So he gives apostles, people who organize, prophets, people who speak a stern word, evangelists, people who lead the evangelism of the lost, with everyone who has a gift of evangelism. So everyone's called to be an evangel, to evangelize your friends, but not everyone's called to be an evangelist. And an evangelist in the Bible isn't somebody who walks around and has revivals for every 6 weeks. An evangelist in the Bible is a stationary person in the local church who is concentrated on mobilizing everyone to win souls. Pastors have that pastoral heart. Teachers love to teach. I'm a teacher. He loves to teach. And then what they do is the Bible says that when these things are healthy in your church, these and look at them as a look at them as an attitude. Or an element. When there's prophetic words at Covenant Community Church, and we don't have the kind of church where people want to have their ears itched, and we don't have the kind of church where people only want to hear what they want to hear, the gift of prophecy is alive in our church, maturing the saints. When we are always starting new ministries and making them better and rallying people, then the church is healthy because there's an apostolic ministry going on. When we are evangelizing on a mass scale, the church is healthy. When we give pastoral care through deacons and through pastoral care departments, and we're shepherding sheep, then the church is healthy. When we have people who are teaching, like we have all over this campus tonight, then the church is healthy. But it's not just about being healthy. You have to realize that the Bible says that this actually births this word right here, maturity. And that it is impossible for you to be mature without the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher spirit in your local church establishing itself. Now, let's finish reading this. Verse 11, it says, evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Now look at verse 12. For what purpose? What's it say there? It says, number one, to equip the saints. If I told you half the stories I hear every week in my life, I'm almost out of time, from pastor friends of mine, you wouldn't believe me. Because pastors are burning out. Do you know how many pastors leave the ministry every month? 1,795. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why these precious men and women in a church that runs 100 fall away from ministry. Because you try to lead a church with this and this alone. And you try to lead a church with this and not that. And you will burn and destroy your pastor. Your spiritual maturity is there to help your pastor not burn himself or herself out. And it is to equip the saints for ministry. But you take an average church in America, which runs 75 people to 125 people, and you only put one person who does it all, and they never, ever equip the saints for ministry and turn people loose in the ministry, do you know what happens? Nobody matures. Nobody gets equipped in their purpose. And what happens is this one person burns themselves out because they're doing everything. And even, and you think about what, the way normal church thought is in America, and then look at what the Bible says normal is. And you see where this pastor burns himself out. You wonder why they end up in a room with a prostitute is because they're doing everything and nobody else is doing anything. And they look at him and say, we pay you to win souls. We pay you to visit the hospitals. We pay you to do that. You want to kill a church? And I'm not saying we do that because we have never done that. But that's what they say. And you want to kill your pastor? You get that mentality. And you wonder why the church never grows past 100 in a city of 1 million? That right there is the reason. Structure. But what God has done is he's given everybody a purpose. And it will make you happy. Your purpose will make you happy. You want to know why you've been drunk? Because you're not happy. You want to know why you're not happy? Because you put yourself first. Give yourself away and God will heal you. He'll heal you. And so what happens if we erase this and say, let the pastor pastor? And I've told you 100 times, I'm not a pastor. I am in the traditional sense of the word. But I'm not that kind of person. I'm a visionary. I'm an apostolic person. I'm a teacher. I evangelize. And I love, I could never pastor 75 people. I would have a nervous breakdown. I would. I'm not saying that because I think I'm better than anybody. I would have a nervous breakdown because, listen, I go to the hospitals. I've been to the hospital 5 times since Thursday. It's not about that. But when you got the kind of church that says one person is supposed to be at the hospital rather than the body, you got a sick church. A sick church. But there's someone in the body that actually has the gift of healing, and someone in the body that actually has the gift of exhortation, encouraging people. And if we ever mobilize these people, you better watch out, devil, because your day is done. But the devil knows how to kill the fivefold. He knows exactly how to destroy them. But what would happen, and listen here, say you have the gift of encouragement, and that's your gift. I know a lot of you got the gift of encouragement, you know? It's your gift. You're never going to get mature until the church is mature, structurally from the top down. And when your church has these things operating in it, now look at this. Those of you that are Sunday school teachers or you teach a small group at any period of time in this church, let me tell you how to fill your classroom. It's very simple. Put someone in there to organize it. Put someone in there who will speak prophetically in prayer and intercession for your small group. Put someone in there in charge of evangelism and discipleship. Put someone in there who will go to the hospitals and visit your small group. And put someone in there who's the teacher, and you will explode that small room. And if we began to operate like that, you would be happy. You would be fulfilled. You would be where you can't wait to get to church. That's how sick the body of Christ is tonight. That's how sick the body of Christ is. We say, why in the world are all these people going to hell? I'll tell you why. Because the churches went to hell. And it has been, and we have taken business models, and we've taken denominational thinking, and we've taken all this stuff. And we said, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to build the church the way the world builds it. Listen, you can't build a church the way the world says to build it. You got to build it the way the Holy Ghost says to build it. And when you build it the way the Holy Ghost, and I know I got hundreds of preachers listening to me right now because you tell me about listening to the podcast. Listen, if you're listening to me right now and you've been operating a church where you're doing everything and you're insecure because you're afraid somebody's going to split your church, you listen to me, big boy. You listen to me, young lady. You get in there and you begin to release people into ministry and God will begin to bless you and maybe you'll see your children during the week. And here it says, to equip the saints for ministry. Now, I know you don't like being called this, but if you're saved, can I see your hand? You're a saint. Now, Kenny, you go home and tell her I said you're a saint, okay? You're a saint, Whitney. Now, what's the little word here? Equip. Most churches think this guy or this woman is here to visit them in the hospital. And to preach on Sundays and to teach. And that's the route for destruction. I did not say that caring people don't visit hurting people. I'll be at the hospital twice tomorrow. But what I am telling you is the job of full-time ministry. And I'm getting ready to hammer it down, Billy Hargis, in this church in the next year. You want to talk about hammering? I'm getting ready to hammer it. If we pay your salary, I want to see people in ministry. I don't judge you by how well you sing, how well you can administrate, how well you work with children, how well you work with kids. You're judged by who you put into ministry. And so you equip the saints for ministry. That's the job, to equip them. To equip them to do what? To exhort. To equip them to do what? To teach. To equip them to do what? You know what worries me? One of my greatest burdens is right up here. How many of you believe that God gives a tongue and interpretation still today? Can I see your hands? I do too. What's going to happen in this church when that lady right there goes to heaven? And I am retired? What's going to happen? If your generation doesn't stay in their local church and get roots and learn how to interpret a word, what's going to happen? The church will become immature, and you will not be effectively equipped to exhort. I'm worried about that. How many of you think churches need wisdom, Sophia, word of wisdom? How many of you have been blessed by word of wisdom? You know, I was in Arkansas preaching for the state back in January, Billy Claypool, actually, Billy. And a little girl walked up to me and she was scared. And that's the one thing I don't like about education. People think that you can't talk to them. You'll talk above their heads or something. You're not down to earth. And when you're a speaker and you're in a place that big at a convention center, a lot of times even the preachers are afraid to say anything to you because they find out how many people you pastor and they think that you would be rude. That's the assumptions. You know what I'm talking about back there. And this little girl who was about 16 walked up to me and she said, Dr. Knight? I said, yes, honey. I said, what can I do for you? She said, and she was shaking. She said, I don't want you to think I'm goofy. And I don't. And she gave me all this spiel about, you know, this, that. She goes, but God told me to tell you something. She didn't know I was in the Holiday Inn begging God for a word. Begging Him to speak to me in a way that I knew it was Him. And she came up and operated in the gift of wisdom and said, I am wise about an area in your life, and God has told me A, B, C, D. And Linda, that little girl hit it right on the head. And I knew, I knew I was in the presence of God. Can you imagine how happy you will get if you stay here on Wednesday nights and help me, let me mature you and show you your gifts and help you find your gifts? Can you imagine how blessed Covenant is going to be when you operate in your gifts and the presence of God falls because of your obedience? Can you imagine what's going to happen when the power of God touches you in a new and a fresh way? Somebody say amen. Now, I don't have time to give this out right now, but I will later. There's also the gift of celibacy. There's the gift of hospitality. And I'll show you those scriptures later. There's the gift of martyrdom. Which means you give your life to Jesus. There's the gift of being a missionary that the Bible talks about. And there's a gift of, like Henry Nouwen had, voluntary poverty, even though he was one of the best-selling authors in the world. He was the theologian at Harvard and a tremendous walk with God. Let me finish this and we close. It says, equipping the saints for the work. Watch this. All of this is work. Now, how do you build a successful church when 2 Timothy 3:1 says in the last days people will become selfish? Equipping the saints for the work of ministry. To do what? To build up the body. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity. This is the other reason, Billy, and you've seen it, you and Joanne, we've talked a lot about that over 20 years. You can't have, how many would love to see the Holy Ghost fall in this place? Can I see any? Never going to happen without unity. And we have it. I praise God for it. But it requires unity. You know what else is required of people working in the ministry in a healthy church? That when people work in their gifts and they know who they are, they're not jealous of someone else and they don't fight. And the reason so many churches fight is what? Over what? Territory. Well, I'm the choir director. Well, I'm the superintendent of Sunday school. They fight, Robbie. You've seen 100 of them. They fight. And the Bible says that if the devil can get us fighting one another, he will stop maturity in our lives. And if he can get us fighting one another, he'll stop your spiritual growth. And if he get us fighting one another, he'll stop the work of the Holy Ghost. What was Jesus' last prayer? You think about the last words of a dying man. Father, let them be one as you and I are one. It wasn't, let them understand ecclesiology and eschatology so that they'll understand the second coming of man. Mm-hmm. Lord, let them be one as you and I are one. Let them be one as you and I are one. One body. In diversity, equipping the saints through the power of the Holy Spirit.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.